The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Watching from, if you've got a prayer request, you can IM it, or the numbers will be on the screen. You can send a text there. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. We want to believe with you. And we know that there is power in prayer. Amen. So praise God. We're glad you're with us tonight. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get on over. We're going to finish up on John chapter 16, where we were at on Sunday. And while you're turning there, I'm going to begin reading. I want to open up tonight over in Galatians chapter 6. Now, while you keep on turning over to John, we'll get back over there. But Galatians chapter 6, and I want to say that in Galatians chapter 6, it tells us about bearing and sharing the burdens of others. A lot of times we get into a situation. A lot of times we get into a place maybe where we're burdened down. Has that ever happened to anybody? Where you find yourself with a heavy load. Isn't that what the devil tries to do? He tries to load us down with a heavy load. And if we're not careful and we find ourselves in a heavy load, we will push that burden or that feeling of angst onto other people's unaware. Amen? That's why Brother Summerall wouldn't allow certain people to lay hands on him when they prayed. He didn't want that thing that was in them transferring to him. And sometimes I looked down and thought, man, I thought that guy was right on, spot on. Nope, there's something there. And so we need to bear one another's burdens. And in Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to jump right into John, so stay with us. Brethren, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if any man is overtaken in trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I think a lot of times, and at least in America, in the American church, a lot of times we want to take the ball peen hammer. And if that don't work, then we want to get the sledgehammer. And if that don't work, then we want to get the bigger hammer, get the wrecking ball, right? But the Bible tells us that we need to do it in a spirit of gentleness, lest the spirit that's on them overtake us. Isn't that amazing? Make sure that we understand what we're doing here, okay? We don't go into anything blind. We don't go into anything with our eyes closed. We want to go into an eyes wide open, right? And sometimes we have to realize, sometimes we have to recognize that it may not be something physical. It may not be something an ailment. It may not be an infirmity. It may be a spiritual thing. And we need to recognize it as one of us who are spiritual. You know, the Apostle Paul said to the church in Galatia, let those of you who are spiritual, okay? And I'm not talking because everybody's spiritual today. Everybody is spiritual. Everybody, you know, they all talk about the great spirit. They all talk about how spiritual they are. But the Apostle Paul is talking about one who is full of the Holy Ghost of God. Okay? All right. It says, bear one another's burdens, and so also fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So if I'm thinking, and now I've got myself in trouble because I got two good quotes like that. I'm not going to talk about the chips or the chicken. But if I think I'm all that, and I'm not deceiving anybody else, I'm deceiving me, right? You know what the best thing to do is? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then He will lift you up, all right? All right. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. This hit me hard because I thought, used to, when we would minister to people and they would come and they would receive, I thought, man, that's awesome. That wasn't the awesome part. The awesome part was when I was with God alone And even though I didn't see the victory, the Lord said, here, you've got the victory. Well, how do I got the victory? They didn't get saved. They didn't accept Jesus. How do I got the victory? And then he would tell me how the Apostle Paul said, you know, one plants, one tills, one plants, one waters, and then the others come to harvest. You don't know where you are in that stage of planting, sowing, and harvesting. We don't know. And so as long as we're fulfilling what God has told us to do at that moment, we may be on the planting stage. We may not reap the harvest, but we've done our part. We may not be in the planting or harvesting stage. We may be in the watering stage. You know, we may be the water boy. Well, let me tell you, if we're the water boy, we got some high quality H2O. Just throwing that out there. We may be the one that harvests, but we can't take credit for the harvest because there were other stages before us. Oh, right? So if we're faithful before the Lord, then the Lord will judge us as being faithful, and we will reap the reward of one who has been faithful. Amen? I think a lot of times it's hard for us to contemplate victory because we don't see victory like God sees victory. It's hard for us to contemplate having a win when seeming like anymore in this last day, you beg people, you do all the, you know, I'm getting of a mind where I'm not going to beg people to come to Jesus anymore. I'm going to present them with the gospel, and whether they hear or whether they reject him, it lays on them. I will have fulfilled my calling. I will have fulfilled my commission. I can't beg people to receive the best thing they've ever had in this life or the next. But I will tell you this much. When we do separate, you will be made aware that God came near. You'll be without excuse because God has come near. Amen? Man, that's a message and a half. Whew. So let us examine our own work. And here's what we got to do. When we examine our own work, we've got to examine the fact that did I do what God asked me to do? Is that what God told me to do? Did he say tell them or did he say save them? And if he said save them, you need to stop and say, God, what are you talking about? Only you can save. Right. Only God can save. Right. Remember, we said this now for about 2 months. I'm just the man and the book. The man with the plan. Whether you put the plan in action in your life is completely up to you. Okay? Just the man with a plan. All right? For each one shall bear his own load. That means when we go out, we've got a commission from the Lord. Go ye into all the world preaching the gospel, making disciples. That's it. Not making church members, not filling up the church, making disciples. That's the commission. Somewhere along the way, that got twisted into making people confess Jesus in a hyped up crowd, in a hyped up setting, you know, after 22 stanzas of just as I am. You know, getting them all emotional where they confess Christ under duress. It's like the old Baptist pastor, and he was known to be long-winded, and he was going and going and going, preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching, and he said, we're not going to leave till somebody gets saved, and his wife elbowed their 10-year-old son and said, go up there to the altar. But mama, go up there to the altar. Why? I don't need to get saved, mama. She said, no, but my pot roast does. Go up there to the altar. It doesn't matter how many times somebody comes to the altar if their heart isn't ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we've made a huge error in trying to get emotional confessions out of spiritual beings. I don't want to. That's a slippery slope, but I can't go off that right now. But just mark that down. Verse number 6, it says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Right? "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Man, Apostle Paul, man, he doesn't pull any punches, does he? You know, I don't think the Apostle Paul would be welcome back in very many churches today. Preaching like that, what's he thinking? "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption or death." You know, I had one of our instructors in college he taught a different class, but he was a fitness guru. And we had to stand up and give speeches. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have some fun. You guys know me, how I like to poke and prod a little bit. So I went and I did a speech on physical fitness. And it was good. It was really good. Facts, it was facts, 100% factual. It was in the perfect context. It was a good, laid out, prepared speech. And then I said, in conclusion, I'd just like to say that based on my research and my report and what I'm concluding with here today is that we need to eat right, exercise daily, and die anyway. He's like, bah, 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 bah. I said, thank you. And he was like, but what's that? And I went back and I mentioned several Mr. Universes. I mentioned several fitness gurus. They drank the soy milk. They ate the whey protein. They did all that stuff. They were on the whatever juice diets. They were on all that and they were dead. You know why? Because this flesh is temporary. This body is passing away. Right? And he said, it was a Christian college. He goes, "I can't believe that you would do a speech like that. It was perfect up till the..." I said, "No, it's perfect all the way through. All the way through it's perfect." "No, no, 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 no." He goes, "I can't believe that you would not encourage..." I said, "I was encouraging. This flesh is going to die." And he says, "Well, I think that we need to, you know, take care of our bodies." And I said, "Well, you can take care of it how you want to. But I read in the Old Testament where Jacob was enlarging his tent." He goes, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, I have to get my clothes from Ahmed the tent maker, and there we go." "All right. Are you guys here tonight? Is there any blood pumping in you guys tonight? Or are you guys, aren't those ones that were tragically born without a personality? That was funny. That was a joke." "All right. I guess I can just be stoic. You want me? I can go stoic. I can go, you know, Baptist, you know, 101 right now." "No, I don't want to, but..." All right. Hopefully some of you online are enjoying. And verse number 9, and this is where we're going to jump back over into John. "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." It's so easy. It's so easy to get discouraged, isn't it? It's so easy to get weary, isn't it? It's so easy to want to just give it up. It's so easy, especially today. You know, when you're hearing conflicting reports and this guy's right and that guy's right, and now we've got, you know, now they're holding the one side is holding the country hostage, and there are people that need help, but there's a lady who's privileged out from San Francisco who can go to her own beautician, but she dares anybody else to try to do anything. That's hypocritical at best, demonic at worst. It's easy to grow weary today with all the pressure and stresses that we're facing as humans, isn't it? It's easy. It would be simple to just say, oh, goodness, what are we going to do? I was talking before, came online talking with the people here at the sanctuary, and there are people out there who have just gone into a depressed state and want to die. Let me just throw this out here from a biblical perspective. If you wake up on the planet Earth tomorrow, God's got a plan for you and He's got a job for you to do. Don't mope around about it. Don't get all bent out of shape about it. Find what God's got for you to do and accomplish it. Because the Apostle Paul said, I've run the race and I've finished the course. A lot of people are wanting to go to heaven and they haven't even left the starting blocks yet, Pastor. A lot of people are ready to go to heaven and they haven't even got down to the turn one yet. Oh, Lord, when you go to... And your Bible tells you, in the parable of the minas, that we were to do business, His business, until He returns. And if I'm not doing His business, I better not be praying for His return. Because we're going to suffer loss. Remember the one that had the one mina? He said, oh, I knew you were a tough taskmaster. I knew that you reaped where you hadn't sowed. I knew that you collected where you hadn't invested. I knew all these things. And I got afraid, and so I went and buried your mina. And here it is. You know what the Lord and His master told him? You evil and wicked servant. If you knew these things, that I reaped where I didn't sow and that I collected where I didn't invest, then why didn't you at least take it to the bank? That way when I came back, I could have received my own with interest. You better not be praying for the rapture if you ain't busy doing Jesus' work. There's some people, when we stand before the Bema seat, our work is going to be tried as if it were by fire. And all that was done for the Lord is going to be gold and silver and precious metal. And that'll be purified in the fire. But all those things that we did and all those excuses we gave, they're piling up. And those are going to be wood, hay, and stubble. And those are going to be burnt up. And what we hope is that the ashes of our failures don't outweigh the gold and the precious metals that are refined. The Bible says if they do, you will suffer loss. I can't imagine suffering loss in a place called heaven. It said you'll be saved, but you'll suffer loss. I think it's time we get about our Father's business, don't you? I think it's time we quit worrying about when He comes back. I'd just like to be doing something when He comes back. I just want to be doing something when the Lord returns. And I'd love to have Him surprise me. Oh, yeah, hey Jesus, how you doing? Instead of sitting in my chair at home saying, Lord, why don't you just come now? Oh, come get me. That's not going to be a servant that's well-pleasing to the Lord. That's not one that, like the Apostle Paul said, I've run the race and I've finished my course. We need to start running, folks. The time is short. You wonder why the world's in such condition that it's in? It's because the devil knows that he's running out of time. The devil knows it. Do you? And he's working harder and harder and harder because he knows that his end is near. Do we understand the end is near? And that is the question that I wanted to pose tonight. Do we understand? Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary. Take a self-assessment. Let each man consider his own self, consider his own labor, and don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, and then get out there and keep on going for the Lord. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Amen? Now, the Apostle Paul had insight through the unction and leadership of the Holy Ghost that these men over in John did not have. In John chapter 16. Beginning in verse 12. Are you ready? Okay. Jesus said, and this should be read if it's in your if you got the right Bible, red letter edition. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Have you ever wondered, have you ever pondered how many more things the Holy Spirit would want to tell us, but we're not in any position to receive? I mean, are we open to the leadership of the Lord when He sends a word, even if it's something that we have been taught wrong for years, and He sends a word and you're just like, oh, I don't know, man, I never heard that before. And even though you're shown it in the Bible, you're shown it and you've went through it step by step by step, are we ready? Are there certain things that the Holy Spirit has to hold back from us because we have allowed ourselves to become comfortable with the knowledge of yesterday? And even though the world is moving on and there's new word, fresh oil being poured out, fresh wine being poured out, and we're so comfortable in the knowledge, and it's easy to get comfortable and easy to get in our own groove, as it were. We've worn into a groove like a tire. Isn't it easy for us to, when the Lord wants to stretch us a little bit, we're like, ah. And Jesus is saying this to his disciples. I think that's what the Holy Ghost is saying to some of us today. You know, I've got more to say to you, but you're not ready. You're not there yet. You can't bear them now. He says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. How much truth? All. Now, what happens, pray tell, if the Holy Spirit is wanting to guide us into all truth and we can't receive it, or we can only get to church every you know, third quarter, and we can only get to church so often, and even though we've had good teaching, we're not able to receive the truth. You know, that's why Hebrews 10:25 says that do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right? As is the custom of some, even much more so as you see that day approaching. And guys, we're seeing that day approaching. We're seeing that day approaching. There are people in this community who've been in church their entire life and don't even realize what's coming down right in front of them. It's too easy to stay with the familiar and not launch out into the deep so that you can catch, have a great catch. When Jesus or the Holy Spirit is calling out to them from the shore, hey, have you caught anything? And they said, no, we've toiled all night. And He says, let down your net on the other side of the boat. And most people are like, you know, and Peter did that too a little bit, didn't he? Well, we've toiled all night and we haven't caught anything, but at your word, we're going to do it. And here today in modern Christianity, we're like, are you silly? We've toiled. We've been doing this since the 60s. We haven't done anything. Our church has room. And now you're telling us to let down our nets on the other side? You're not a fisherman. You're a carpenter. We're coming in. We're ready for breakfast. How many times do we reject the Lord and you try to use our common sense to outsmart the Holy Ghost? Are you with me? How many times do we try to say, Lord, I tried that and it didn't work? A lot of people, especially in this town, where there's a lot of emotional, there's a lot of salvation that were because of something else and not because of Jesus. As Ray Comfort would say, a lot of false converts. Well, I tried that Christianity and it didn't work for me. You know, Christianity is not something you try. It's something you are.
Right.
You don't try Christianity. You either are or you're not. Covered a little children's, you know, here I'm going to give you a spoiler alert, cover little children's ears, but you don't get half pregnant. You either are or you ain't. You don't get half saved. You either are or you're not. Now, once you get saved, there's a progression that happens towards sanctification, and there's a maturing process that happens. And we hear that all through the New Testament. You know, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, don't put a novice up to minister. Don't put a novice up. Don't, you know, let them be disciples, make disciples. So there's a process after you become to the Lord of learning and getting in the Word and learning to hear from God. You know, there are a lot of people today that don't hear from God. Matter of fact, that's an alien concept. I was reading a study today. It's an alien concept among evangelical believers today that whether or not people actually hear from the Lord today. It was in the 60% that said no, they didn't believe that people heard from the Lord. They have trouble with the virgin birth. Almost 40% have trouble with believing that Jesus was born of a virgin. Wow, that's a, and the new church has got a real problem with saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. 60% say that all religions lead to God. That's a problem. For people who claim the name of Christ, that's a problem. They don't know the basic doctrinal issues of the gospel. That is a problem. How many times have you been talking to someone, or how many times have you been witnessing to someone or ministering to someone, and you say, have you been saved? And they say, saved from what? What do I need saved for? Life's pretty good. I got money, my bills are paid, none of my family's sick, and if they do get sick, we got insurance. How's that working out with COVID? I don't hear a lot of people saying, well, I got insurance. If I get the COVID, I got the insurance. You see, there's something more. There's something more. Jesus is telling us there's something more. He says He will guide you into all truth. Not just part truth, not just the part you're comfortable with. He will guide you into all truth. I'm telling you, there's some things out there that we're not very comfortable with, because as Pastor and I were talking the other night, man, we got some areas to grow. We got some areas to move in. We got some areas to discipline ourselves in. We got some areas that the Holy Spirit's working on us on. But He's guiding us into all truth. Whether we accept and move forward or reject and stand still, He's guiding us into all truth. To not move when the Holy Spirit is moving is rebellion. You realize that? To disobey when He's saying, I want you to come further, it's rebellion. It's the sin of witchcraft. Delayed obedience is disobedience, right? He said He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. How you suppose it is that men of God have been getting dreams? I'm not talking to everybody, but young men, your young men will have dreams and your old men will see visions, you know. Or switch that. Because in the last days, as the prophet Joel said, in the last days. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You, boy, some of them guys are flaky. Really. If it lines up with the Word of God, how flaky is it? If it lines up with God's Word, the final authority for the believer. You know what? The final authority for a believer has to be here, not here. Jesus said it. I believe it. Well, what if the Apostle Paul said it? Well, then you don't know your Bible. Because in John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. Don't matter who wrote it, the Holy Ghost inspired it, and it's the Word, and Jesus is the Word. It doesn't matter if I can wrap my head around it. Do you suppose that Noah could wrap his head around a boat in the middle of the desert? How many of you have been to the Ark Adventure, the Ark Encounter? That thing's huge, isn't it? Do you suppose when God told Noah, what do you think Jochebed said when he came in? You know, hey, honey, the Lord's been talking to me. And she probably said, no more spoiled goat milk for you. Who's hearing from the Lord today? And those who are coming under a reproach and a rebuke, aren't they? Imagine when he laid the first beams of that gigantic boat. Man, what are you doing? And you know what some of his neighbors were thinking? Some of his religious friends, you know what they were thinking? Well, you know, once temper clears out on his land and he has to start going around, he'll quit, he'll give up on it. Aren't you glad he didn't? He looked like a fool for 120 years, didn't he? Until the rain started. And some of us, we're afraid to talk to our neighbors about, thus says the word of the Lord, that in the last days there will be perilous times. In the last days there will be earthquakes in various places. In the last days there will be pestilence. In the last days there will be plagues. Some of us are afraid to talk to our neighbors about it because they might think we're nuts. I guarantee you, everyone, maybe even some in Noah's family, thought he was nuts. I think he had to do some convincing. Oh, Jochebed, don't you, his wife? I think he had to do some convincing, don't you? I mean, seriously, so there have been times I told the wife, I went home and said, man, you know, I was in prayer, and the Lord said to do this, and you know, first thing she said, you know, that spirit-filled woman, I'm like, well, let's just wait and pray about it. I'm like, pray about it? I was in prayer when the Lord told me it. Well, now you just got, yeah, let's just make sure. It's wise to make sure. But once you make sure, then you need to cut the drag chute. Once you make sure, you need to get out the axe like they used to do in the old sailing ships when they couldn't get the ropes untied fast enough. You need to get the axe and cut the moorings and set sail. You see, the church is leaving. I don't think a lot of people want to hear that, but the church is leaving. You remember the old passenger trains, and a conductor would walk the platform. He would, you know, 8:36 El Paso, leaving 10 minutes, 10 minutes, 8:36 to El Paso. He'd walk the length of the train. He'd come back. 8:36 to El Paso, 5 minutes, all aboard. And I think instead of getting ready, I think that pastors today ought to be saying, all aboard, the gospel train headed for heaven is leaving, all aboard now, the train is coming. Jesus is coming. Yeah. Jesus is coming soon. He's returning. Yeah. He's coming back, amen. Right.
Amen.
Not too happy, huh? Get happy. Might as well get happy or sad. Right? Jesus is coming. You know why? You know what happens is, and what Pastor Burkhart used to tell us a lot of times, he said, you know, you can preach a message about prosperity. You can preach a message about getting your prayers answered. You can preach a message about healing. And people get all happy and all, because we're in love with this life. He said, but you preach a message about heaven and Jesus returning, and people that have too many anchors, too many handles, too much baggage. Right? I'm telling you, I would rather change or trade all that. You can't keep it anyway. There are no hearses being followed by U-Hauls. You're not going to keep it anyway. So that's why Jesus said, lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where rust doesn't corrode, moth doesn't chew up, and where thieves don't break in and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And you know what he said? You know, right in close proximity to that verse, you know why he said that? He said, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My heart really isn't here. I sent my heart on a head home. My heart now is to get others to go with me so that I may fulfill the commission that God has placed on my life. So the minute that I get the last one, and I don't know who it's going to be. It may be somebody on the broadcast tonight in a foreign country from America that says yes to Jesus, and the Lord would say, that was it. That was your call. That's the last one that you needed to get. Come on home. And then you guys will be resting and take on the rest of the journey. We don't, have you ever thought about that? The next person that you witness to, if they accept Jesus, and that's the one that you were called to get, guess what? The next voice you may hear may be Jesus saying, I got your place done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your salvation. Are we narrow-sighted as Christians? Are we short-sighted? We really are, aren't we? Because we think that, you know, tomorrow we'll do this and the next day we'll do this. But what the Apostle Paul says is we ought to be saying that, except for we say, if the Lord wills, tomorrow we will do this. If the Lord wills, tomorrow we will do that. Because we don't have no tomorrow. We've only got today. And I think that the church has forgotten that. I think that people that call themselves Christians have forgotten that. What if the last word out of your mouth was gossip and the Lord called you back? What if the last word out of your mouth was frustration and the Lord called you back? What if, I don't know what those people are thinking, and all of a sudden Jesus said, JC, it's your time. Come home. Think about it for a moment. We're to be blessers and not cursers. We're to be encouragers. Well, Pastor, you don't know what he or she did. I don't have to know. Jesus knows, and that's good enough for me. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And he can repay way a lot better than I can. He can repay so much better than I could ever even think about doing. Right? The only thing I've got to do, be on my knees at this altar or the altar at home, be in my word, give God my worship, and tell everyone that Jesus is coming soon. It's really simple when you boil out all of the stuff that men have added. It's really simple. You want to be happy? You want joy in your life? Then do what the Lord said. Follow the Lord. Obey the Lord. It's better to obey than to sacrifice anyway. You want to have a good life. You want to lead the full life. You want to have the abundant life. I know, Pastor, where there's some people that aren't living the abundant life. They're like the Duncan yo-yo life. One day they're up, next day they're down. One day they're up, next day they're down. And then life throws them a curve and the string gets tight around the pinky finger and the yo-yo's beating them in the head. It's called the rock the cradle. You ever seen the rock the cradle trick in the Duncan yo-yos? Oh, dude, I got to show you the rock the cradle. But you got to stand back because sometimes I miss and I knock myself in the head. You ever walk the dog in the Duncan yo-yo tricks? And the yo-yo's still spinning, and you put it on the floor, and it starts rolling. It's awesome. See, nobody knows yo-yo tricks anymore because we've all got electronic devices. They haven't made a yo-yo app. There is no yo-yo app. If it is, it's not the Duncan yo-yo variety. Oftentimes we get caught up in the environment that we were sent here to change, don't we? How many times, I'm talking to me, how many times have I got caught up in the environment that I was sent to be light and salt in? And my light goes dim, or I put it under a bushel, and my salt loses its flavor. That's me. I'm just talking about me. When Jesus sends us into a situation, he selected us for that situation. Think about that for a minute, will you? When we're having a day from hell, Jesus said, there's a situation on the horizon, who am I going to put there? Okay. Well, Lukey's got enough going on. Sister Denise got enough going on. I can depend on Pastor, but I've had him there, and he may come to Elder Luke. Did you ever consider that when we're going through a rough day? That's why Jesus said, "Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptation and testing. Consider it joy." You know why we should consider it joy? Because he felt we were worthy. He felt we were the tool to get the job done in that situation. You say, "Well, Pastor, but it's frustrating." Says everyone who's ever used an adjustable wrench as a hammer. Do you think the wrench was frustrated when you did that? If the wrench could be frustrated? Wait, I'm a wrench. I'm not a hammer. Bam. Right? As a Christian, we need to understand that the trials that we're going through, they were selected for us because the Lord knew that he was going to see us through. And sometimes he allows us to go through those things so that we can see what he's able to do when we're yielded in his hands, if we don't resist him. She had to step out of the room. I'll tell it on her. When Vanessa was going through her cancer, God put her in there because he knew she would shine. The devil thought it was defeat, but she's been shining ever since. And if you give her 5 minutes, she's going to take you to Psalm 103. She's going to take you that you just give her 5 minutes. Ask her what saw her through. And the Lord pointed and etched a verse on her heart. The Lord etched a verse in her heart. Psalm 103. I am the Lord that heals all your diseases. You come to my house and there's little post-it, they're not post-it notes, they're index cards, and there's all over the house. And four or five of them say Psalm 103. I am the Lord that healeth all your diseases. We need to get this word down into us. We need to get this word into us, and we need to let it bloom and blossom. You know, we're talking about planting, we're talking about sowing, we're talking about watering. Some of us have ungerminated seeds inside of us that the Lord is wanting to grow. He's wanting to harvest. He's wanting to bloom, and he's wanting to open up that shell that's inside us and let that wonderful life spring forth, because out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Unless we dam it up. Do you remember reading in the Old Testament after Abraham, when Isaac went back through the land, that the Philistines had dammed up the wells and they'd threw hogs in the wells and they'd polluted the wells? And so, you know what Isaac became famous for? Not being a great missionary or anything like that. He became the one that reestablished and reopened up the wells. You know what? There's been a lot of wells closed in America over the course of this year. There's been a lot of wells that were closed in Warsaw over this year. I want the river to be known as the one who restored the wells and restored the paths to walk in, who restored the walls and repaired the breach. I want the river in Warsaw, Indiana, to be the restorer of the breach. To be a well-watered garden. Yes. I want it to be a place where people can come. Man, they may be in battling everything and be set free. Yes. There's freedom here. There's chain-breaking Holy Ghost power in this place. Yes. Do you realize it? Do you know it? Do you believe it? You say, well, how do you guys get that? We weren't born with it. We just remember, we just realize that faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The more you hear the Word of God, the more your faith's going to grow. And let me just tell you something. Here at the River, we hear a lot of Word, don't we? We only hear the Word. We don't mess around with any of that other stuff. It's the Word of God, amen? And that's what you're going to hear when you come here. The life-giving, life-sustaining, the chain-breaking, burden-lifting, yoke-destroying Word of God, amen? And if that don't bless you, your blessers broke. The altars will be open tonight. We hear that at the River a lot. Because we're here to build. We're here to lift people up. We're here to establish you in Christ. Amen. We're the repairers of the breach. We have the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes, amen.
And that's what we're called to do. And that's what we do. If, Pastor, you'll let us. We can't repair you the breach if you won't let us. What was the name of that show? They'd make the people leave for a weekend and they'd go in and they'd remodel their house, flip my house, or they had the big bus. Extreme Home Makeover. You know, one of the conditions of that show, in order to get your home turned into what you wanted it to, one of the conditions was that you had to give them permission to do it. You had to sign on the dotted line that we give this people, this contractor, permission to change your home. And then, just to make sure that everything went as planned, you had to leave. Well, you know why? Because for 3 months, there's been a vanity sitting under a tarp in our backyard that we're not sure about yet. We bought the silly thing, but we ain't sure about it. And every time we peek up underneath the tarp, we think, well, maybe we can find another one. That thing's about ready to become kindling, so we have to find another one. I'm thinking like Cortez did, we're about ready to burn the ships so there ain't no going back. Is that crass? You know, some of us in the body of Christ, we need to burn the ships. We just start getting close. We just start feeling the power of God moving on our lives, and we want to run back and hide. We're like those people that followed Moses in the wilderness. And when Moses would come down from the mount, full of the power of God, glowing with the radiance of the Spirit of God and the anointing of God, the glory of God, they would say, oh, you're scaring us, Moses. You're scaring us. Pastor, we scare some people. You know that. We scare some people. We start talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. We start talking about power in this day. We start talking about the power of the universe and the creating of the universe in the politically powered and charged world. We start messing with people. You start telling drug addicts, you can find release here. You can find your freedom here. You can be lifted here. People start going, oh boy, you just don't know what you're talking about. No. You don't know my God like I know my God. You start telling people there's power in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
chain breaking, burden lifting, yoke smashing power.
Amen.
We're called to set the captives free. Captive to what? To addiction, to abuse, to whatever you can put a name to. If you're bound by it and you're held captive, there's freedom in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And there's still a church. And there's still some pastors. There's a praying people that are ready, willing, and able to agree with you to set you free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Are you ready? Are you willing? Are you willing to come out of your comfort zone? Time's short. As the conductors were saying, all aboard. All aboard. Last call. All aboard. Train bound for glory is leaving the station. Are you with us? Are you with us? God bless you. Come back and be with us Sunday, 10 a.m. We'd love to have you. Bring your burdens to the Lord and watch Him remove them. Watch Him crush them. If you're in the Warsaw area and you've got a problem with any, you've got an addiction problem, you're bound, maybe it's an alcoholism problem, whatever it is, you bring that to the Lord. You get to the river this Sunday and the Lord will free you.
Yes, amen.
In Jesus' name. God bless you. Hope to see you Sunday.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.